I'm going to go back over teaching again on this week on spiritual jurisdiction. Last week, the Holy Spirit spoke to me on Sunday night. There was a thing I was just praying about, and He spoke to me and told me to, on Sunday morning after I was here, He told me to go over and tell, you know, speak to you on that. And that had to do with on 1 Kings in the 18th chapter. I was just praying there, and you know, one of the things is the Bible tells us to pray for the time of the latter rain, pray for rain. And there I was praying about the rain, and I was talking to the Lord about certain prophecies that had been said, certain things, and you know, that have been spoken over the years, and talking about the fulfillment of those things, telling him, you know, that you know, people by the Holy Ghost, and talking to the Lord, because there's some of those things I think we need further revelation on and understanding about some of those prophecies that were said. And I was talking to him about it, and he told me, he spoke to me and said, you've been praying wrong. And I thought, what? He said, you've been praying wrong. He took me over to 1 Kings 18 chapter, and he said to me, he said, Elijah prayed for the rain after he prayed for the fire. He said, you need to pray for the fire. He said, the fire will turn my people's hearts back to me. And he said, and we'll deal with the false prophets. And you know, we're dealing, you know, people today don't know who God is, do they? You know, you tell them who God, I mean, Christians are turning around saying, you know, that we and the Muslims worship the same God. Well, they ain't got no clue. I mean, we have major, we got ministers that have congregations of 20,000, over 20,000 people said that we serve the same God. You know, it's the same God, you know. And making statements and things like that. So people don't know God. And God's going to have to deal with what is false and what's real. And the Lord said to me, the fire will do that. The fire will deal with the judgment of the false prophet, but at the same time, the fire turns the heart of the believers back to God. And it isn't about God's not trying to throw people out. He's trying to get people in. That's what it's about. And he said, you pray for the fire. And he said to me, he said, when the fire comes, he said, the rain will come shortly. Well, isn't that what happened there? When the fire came, the rain will come. Now, there's nothing wrong praying for rain, but he straightened me out. I hadn't been praying for the fire of God. I hadn't been praying. I started to pray for the fire of God. I want what turns the hearts of God's people back to Him. You know, there is not going to be much of a revival if God's people don't get turned back to Him. We're the carriers of revival. You need to understand that. See, many people are expecting God just to move. Just God will move in spite of us. I've heard people say that. Get over it. That ain't happening. It's unbiblical. God just don't move when people do nothing. He doesn't move. I mean, you study church history, you sure find that's true. And so we don't want to get over in this thinking. So we want to go back over into this area. We're dealing with spiritual jurisdiction. And I was glad to hear Mike was saying about dealing with some practical things from a spiritual standpoint. Getting back over practical things. You know, anything today is people need to know is some practical things spiritually, because, you know, a lot of people don't know the foundations of truths of things. They don't know them. They're not being taught, and they don't know them. And foundations of things we need to be talking and saying and believing and doing. We need to get more understanding. This is one of the things that the Lord led me over to teach here in these areas of spiritual jurisdiction. And we were teaching the last time I taught, 2 weeks ago, I taught, we're talking about Satan's jurisdiction because he does. We talked about the fact that the Bible clearly states out, Jesus said he has a kingdom. Satan has a kingdom, and in that kingdom, he rules and reigns in that kingdom. People who are under his domain, sinners who are under his domain, he is their Lord. And he has a lot of sway in their life. If you haven't, you know, noticed that, I know for myself, he had a lot of sway in my life, you know, you get over into his realm, he gets people over into the areas of false believing. He'll get people believing there isn't a God. And or if there is a God, he just likes everybody. He also gets people into the areas of religion. People can be very religious. People can, you know, I've run into people who are not born again. And I'll tell you, most people will swear that they're born again, that they're a Christian. And they are, and I know they're not. People can have a religious spirit and seem like they're just godly as crazy. And they ain't. This is why, you know, the Bible says as many as are led by the Spirit, these are the sons of God. You know, the Bible don't say as many as are led by what some guy says he is. You need to know the spirit you're dealing with. I've been around people and things sometimes seem really nice and seem good, and somehow in my spirit I know, boy, things ain't right. Something's weird here. And I know it on the inside of me. And I find out. But I found this out. The majority of the people are going along with it because they don't ever listen to their spirits. They don't ever listen to the inside. You get a check on the inside. This past weekend, there was a thing that I had been praying about some time. I'd been praying about, And getting over there and I'm thinking, when I would pray, everything and everybody talked about it seemed pretty good. But every time I'd pray, it, to me, somehow something didn't seem right. I couldn't put my finger on what it was. I didn't know. But somehow I thought, you know, there's something here that's hidden that isn't right. I just kept thinking. I thought about it. Well, listening to generally what people were saying about it and others had said, I just thought, well, you know, everything from the outside looks good. Well, then I found out this weekend it wasn't good. I found out why I kept getting that inside of me. It seemed like, you know, that this person was heading over in the right direction concerning an area of their life. And I just, and you know, I just kept, every time I was thinking, something's wrong here. Well, I found out, you know, that you couldn't see by the eye everything that was going on and everything was happening. And so I found out what the truth was about it. And you need to understand that. That's why we need to learn to be led by the Spirit, because everything, you know, that glistens isn't gold. You know, and people are mostly generally moved by what they see and what looks nice at the time and looks good at the time. We don't want to do that. We want to understand we're dealing with satanic powers that influence people. Even as Christians, they want to influence you and me. That's their desire, is to influence. They want to influence people. Now, God wants to influence people. We'll talk about that. But we're dealing in this area with these satanic powers. And so Satan does rule over a kingdom. So he does have a kingdom. So there's certain rights that he has. If you're going to go over and mess in his kingdom, he has certain rights that he has. If we do that, we need to understand those things. This is where Christians get the idea that just because I'm born again, God's going to take care of me. That's not true if you get into the wrong things. There's things that you get into, he may be on a limited amount of time and a limited space, protect you somewhat, but if you stay in it, eventually he's going to have to say, look, you're on your own now. And it ain't because he don't love you. Satan has a right to you. You know, when Satan came to, Satan didn't really realize wholly what was going on. But during with Job, Satan came to God concerning Job. Job had got himself over in the area of fear. He said what he feared most came on him. He got into fear, got in the devil's territory, and the devil had a right to him. You know, God was protecting Job for a long time when Job was in error. But you know what? The day come when Job didn't leave error and the devil had access to him. And you don't want to do that. You don't want to stay over in an area and stay in a place operating. One of the things you'll find out, God is very merciful and gracious. And you know, the devil is not a total idiot. Now to me, from the fact that, you know, he decided he could be God was pretty stupid. But I tell you what, he's pretty smart when it comes dealing with people, because he'll let you go for a long time in error and never touch you. Just wait and wait till you get way out there. Then he eats your lunch. He'll make you think you're all right, you're doing okay. He's smart. He'll do those things. He'll let people carry themselves out there and out there and far enough, get out there, and he'll just watch them go. He'll just watch them take more and more rope, and then all of a sudden he hangs them with their rope, and they wonder, I don't understand. Yeah, well, this is why we need to be careful in these areas. Now, one of the things that we talked about and we ended with in teaching the last time I taught was on the scripture from 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter and verse 13, which I want to read again to us today, which says in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13 says, no temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make a way for you to escape, that you may be able to bear it. And we talked about this. And understand this. You as a Christian, Satan, one of the things we talked about, that Satan will come along and tempt you, and he will tempt you. We'll talk about some of the ways of temptation that he does. But Satan will come and tempt you to sin. He'll tempt you to get you over into his territory. He wants you to leave the jurisdiction you're in. He under God's care, under God's protection, and he's going to try to tempt you to come over and get into something. And you know, he don't come and tempt you and say, hey, why don't you just go commit a murder? What do you think? Or, hey, get a gun, rob a bank. He don't come to you like that. He'll come to you sometimes in things that really seem nice, and oh, this is no problem. Come on over here, you know. You know, and He'll get you over. Well, you know, that person isn't really bad. You just go ahead. You know, they're doing those things. You can go along. It ain't no big deal. It's nothing. And he'll get people over in the areas, tempt us to go over in there. We find this, though, really what tells us here is we don't have an excuse for not overcoming in temptation. He told us here that God provides a way out. He says God would not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able to handle. Now, that's what it says. So listen, God is dealing with people on the level of spiritual maturity that they're at. Now let me clarify this. A true spiritual baby, it's amazing how much God protects them. When I look back over at my Christian walk in the beginning, you know, I should have gotten in some trouble of some things that I never did, but because of my where I was spiritually, God was taking care of me because of my lack of knowledge of things. I was, you know, you're like the baby walking around, pick up the bug and eat it, you know? You don't know. You were just, and you just don't know. You do things, but you're walking, you know, what you're learning, you're walking in, but God's protecting. We need to understand as we get older, there is an amount, we need to know this, there is an amount that God, from the standpoint of God's protecting, there's things that I cannot continue to do as I grow up. I need to grow spiritually. There is no, you know, a person can't come along who has been a Christian for 27 years and never has really gotten into the Bible and learned and going to say, well, look, yeah, I'm a spiritual baby, so God's just going to take care of me. No, you're a spiritual baby by choice. There's a whole big difference in that. A spiritual baby by choice is going to have problems, haven't you noticed? Spiritual babies by choice, God can't keep protecting them. God will provide a way out. Sometimes they say, I don't know the way out. That's your problem. If you've never tried to learn and study what the Word says to how to get out of trouble, you're going to have to end up staying there one of these times. And so this is what happens with people. They stay in the middle of trouble. But if we're walking along in the light, the Bible says if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. So in other words, walk in the light that you have. Continue to walk in the light of the words you got. God will provide for you and take care of you. And this is where I used a thing. This is one of the things is why the false doctrine that has been taught and preached over time and saying, well, you know, it is so tough today for young people as Christians because, you know, they just have much more temptation. I'm sorry. The Bible said the temptation that the devil uses is common to everybody. And the fact that God provides a way out. God don't say He don't provide a way out if you're a teenager. Or if you're a young person and you just have it a whole lot harder. No, you're going to have to deal with the same devil from the time when you're young to you're old. It changes not. And the temptation stuff is the same things. It's always the same stuff. It's the same. He doesn't do nothing any different. You know, I've learned how to handle some things, you know, better. But you know, I find the same junk comes along. The same things come knocking on your door. It's the same stuff, the same opportunity. You know, as you get older, the opportunity to sin, actually, I believe, becomes more because you can figure out more ways to do it. And another thing, you usually have more money to do it. You can get into it more. So to tell a young person that they're in this special spot, it's just hard for them. You just lied to them about life. You lied to them about the way life is because you told them that, you know, you ain't going to have this as you get older, and that's a lie. You just lied to them. It operates. God's not going to change His Word because you're young or you're old. He doesn't change it. It stays the same. The devil don't care what you believe when you're young or old, if you believe it was this way or that way. He's going to come knocking on your door. And so it would be good to believe what the Word says right. Understand this, God is always providing a way out for us in temptation. Always. See, you need to get over there. If you're one of those, you know, sometimes I hear things taught, you know, it's just like, you know, people are going through struggles and trials and they act like God's keeping you in it. Well, sure they do. We were up this church here ministering, and after the service was over, a young woman walked up to me and she had said, because the helpers there, they had made mention the fact that I was a pastor of a church, but I was helping usher there. And this woman come up after the meeting, and she wanted to ask me a question. And you know, she was at a church. She was a church down in Atlanta with 25,000 people members. And she went up front in that church to ask for prayer because she's been dealing with a whole lot of pain. She has a certain problem and dealing with really a lot of pain. And she said, you know, she wanted understanding. She said she was confused about some things. She wants to believe God. She wants to stand in faith, believe and receive her healing. She wants to do that. And she said she went up to prayer. And the pastor from this 25,000 member church said, you shouldn't be wanting to get out of this so quickly about this. Maybe, you know, God's trying to show you something here and that stuff. And I thought, man, you know, I'd like to take that pastor, punch him in the mouth and tell him, say, now don't take anything for pain. You know, that the tooth I just broke in your mouth and that nerve ending is there. God probably teach you something out of that. So just you don't run down to the dentist and get that thing fixed. You just let God work this thing out here or some. I thought, what an idiot. Tell a person who's going through severe pain that God's trying to teach her something. Well, I'll tell you, have you ever been in severe pain in your life? I mean, I'm talking about severe pain. I'm not, some people, you know, they get just a little bit of pain, they whiners. I'm talking about, so I've been in my life already in severe pain. I mean, you can hardly stand it. I've been in pain already that I wanted to die. I thought dying would definitely be a whole lot better than trying to live. Dear God. And you get over there and you're severe pain and that stuff. And this woman's dealing with some severe pain. Well, I'm going to tell you what. When you're under that kind of thing, if God don't come and speak audibly, you probably ain't going to hear nothing. That pain so dominates you and so rules you. If you can't get that pain under control, you ain't going to be doing nothing. And I thought about this man sitting here. He ain't got a clue about life. He surely has a 25,000 member church, but it ain't got to do nothing with him and God. Because he ain't even got the clue about the God of mercy. He don't even, and I'll get you, he stands up and he tells people about grace and he don't even know what grace is about. It's absolutely insane. I thought, this poor, dear woman, you know, she's gone through this struggle and all she needs is another knucklehead. Telling her, if it ain't bad enough the devil showed up, now God and him are teamed up on you. It's like, wow, where are we going with this? Praise God. And I was able, I just said a couple little things to her, just a couple little things concerning the Word of God and spoke to her. And she lit up. She said, I can see it. And I said, praise God, you know, hallelujah. I said, if you get down to Atlanta again, stay out of that church. I said, I didn't tell her that, but she'd have been better off going to a bar in Atlanta. She wouldn't have heard something as stupid as she heard in that church. At least the people in the bar would want to get out of their pain. That's why they're sitting there drinking, most of them. They're trying to get out of pain. You know, they got painful lives and they're trying to feel better. They don't need to go to church and say, no, God wants you to feel rotten. So if you feel rotten today, God wants you to feel worse. We ain't going there. Hallelujah. God is providing the way out. One of the things that the devil will do, and really, here's where it comes along, and I believe this is the major thing of getting people off course, and that's the fact that God comes, you know, we have the Word of God, and God teaches us the Word, and we walk in the light of the Word. The devil will come along, and he will try to implant thoughts into your mind, certain thoughts. You know, he don't just walk up and, you know, try to plant thoughts of murder. I mean, sometimes your flesh may want to go over there. But he'll come along and he'll slowly try to implant thoughts on you to move you off the Word of God. That's what he does. And that's how it usually is with people. It isn't usually, you know, a lot of people and mistakes that they get where they get off course, it hasn't happened over a quick period of time. It's been slowly ingrained. Slowly they've listened to wrong things and heard wrong things. And, you know, maybe somebody come along and said a wrong thing. But then the devil comes along and starts to bring that to you that that's right. That that's right. He'll try to bring along. He wants to change your thought life. Is why? Because if he can't change your thought life, if he can't influence your thought life, he can't get to your heart. I want you to understand this. The devil wants to get things in your heart. You need to know that. I don't care if you're born again. The devil, if you don't watch it, can implant wrong things into your heart by you yielding to wrong thought. Can get things into your heart. And I just, you know, think about this. Is Ananias. When Peter said to Ananias before Ananias dropped dead, fell over under judgment, in Acts the 5th chapter and verse 3, Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? Satan kept dealing with that man and dealing with that man till he got something in that guy's heart. You know, you need to understand this about God dealing with people. God judges the heart. You know, sometimes this is what we see. We see in individuals and actions that they do, but that sometimes, you know, most of the time people's actions aren't really what they believe in their heart, you know, most Christians. They do things, but in their heart's the whole time telling them, you shouldn't be doing this. That's wrong. Ananias got to the point where he listened so much to the devil and what the devil, and followed his flesh and let the devil tempt him through his flesh till to the point where he got in his heart believing, and it became what was in his heart. That's why the judgment come. See, God doesn't deal, it says, with outward appearance. He judges the heart. See, when Ananias got over and got that stuff into his heart, he's operating now. He is walking by this stuff by faith. He is saying it and believing the wrong things. Say it. He'll go around and lie. He's thinking, lying's okay. I can do that. I'm a Christian. I can lie. He's doing that. Satan has filled this man's heart to lie about things. And he got over where it's okay to do. Don't think people can't go there. I've met people already, Ben, and I'll tell you what they live and believe today to what they used to be are two different things. And they let things get into their hearts. That's what Satan, that's why Jesus talked about protecting your heart. You got to do that. You got to protect your heart. Your spirit is such a powerful thing, and you need to understand that. That's why the devil wants to get at it. What you say with your mouth that you do not believe in your heart is powerless. It is the power when a person's is power is released. Really, we could say this is the God kind of power is released when an individual believes something in their heart and says it with their mouth. That's how God works. God created the earth. He spoke it into existence. He's a spirit being. A spirit being spoke words and it came to pass. You and I, out of our spirit, speak things and it comes to pass. That's why if you speak things and it ain't in your heart, you can say it till, you know, whenever, 1,000 years, it'll never happen. It ain't till it gets into your spirit. If the devil wants to put wrong things into your spirit because he knows it, just like with God, he can bring things into reality, good or bad. He knows, and he wants to bring bad. If he can get you believing the wrong thing and talking the wrong thing, he can bring that into existence. He'll bring it into existence through you, through your spirit, through your words. That's what he does. And he does it by coming along and tempting us, and tempting. And this is why in 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, Paul dealt with the church at Corinth with them. Remember, Paul asked him, don't you know that your temple's of God and the Spirit of God is in you? If you read Paul's writings, you can learn a lot about in Paul's writings of who we are in Christ to the Corinthian church. They didn't know who they were. They're out here following along with anything, going, believing stuff, saying wrong things. And he tells them this in 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. In verse 4, he said, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. In other words, we're not in a carnal fight. We're not in a fleshly fight. You're not going to deal with spiritual things fleshly. The battle that you and I are facing, the war that you and I face, he says, are not carnal. He said, they're mighty to God. What? For pulling down strongholds. See, and what most people are thinking of when they see this stuff, strongholds. And I remember back when they got over in this thing of so-called intercession, and they got in there, we're warring against and we're pulling down strongholds. And those same people were bound by the devil, loads of them were. There's some people understood what they're doing. Their idea of pulling down a stronghold wasn't what the Bible was talking about here in stronghold. They used to use this scripture for that. They can't use this scripture. It's not talking about a spiritual, big spiritual stronghold we're pulling down over a country or over a city. It's not what it's talking about. He's talking about the strongholds that the devil will get into your life. That he wants to do. His stronghold is this. He can captivate your thinking. He will get things into your spirit and bring deadly stuff to pass. That's what he's going to do. Lots of times Christians don't realize they have helped the devil bring things to pass. They've helped him bring it to pass. I don't want to do that to you. Man, because listen what he says. Now, this is all the same talk. So that's why, remember, chapters and verses were only put there for study purpose. They're not there because we pull a verse out and then, you know, forget the rest of it. This is the same sentence. He said, what do? We cast down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. That's how you, this is the strongholds he's dealing with here are the thought strongholds. The things, messages preached that are wrong, messages and things, you know. And I really, you know, one things that I really have a heart, I like, you know, blood songs and that stuff. But, you know, just like our blood songs you're singing today, there's things in them that are incorrect. They're just, they deal with things wrong. They deal with old covenant. The church, much of the church world still does not get the Bible. They still don't get it. Most Christians wouldn't know what was wrong or right out of it. They don't ever pay no attention to what they're singing. You know, mostly they're singing always about the soul. The soul isn't the spirit of man. That isn't what got washed in the blood, you know? And we need to, you know, understand, you know, they deal really with the blood. There's, a lot of the songs deal with the blood as being like in the old covenant. You're covered. No, we're not. My sin ain't been covered. My sin's been removed. I no longer have the sin nature. And it's a shame. The church still don't get it. The church still don't understand. The devil has gotten his foothold in and minimized. He has been preaching the old covenant. If you'll get saved, he'll preach you the old covenant to keep you under the law and keep you weak. That's what he'll do. And he'll preach it to you. And he'll get some guy. You know, the Bible says that he has ministers, and they're ministers that look like ministers of righteousness. The Bible says so. There are guys and people out here that people, Christians, listen to that ain't even born again, say they're a Christian, and they ain't a Christian. They've never been born again. They are the devil's worker. And Christians don't even know it. And all they do is they talk religious, but they're preaching a lot of things on the side that ain't good. And people are swallowing it all because the devil will come along and tell you something's true and then add a lie to it. You'll say, well, it must be okay. He said this, so it's all right. The word says they appear as what? Ministers of righteousness. They're out here. You know, we wouldn't have this thing of false prophets. A false prophet is, you know, a false prophet is a false prophet within whatever religion he's in. He's a false prophet. We wouldn't be dealing with false prophets if there wasn't no false prophets in our... We wouldn't be dealing with it, folks. Well, there are people. See, we need to be able to identify these things. That's why you need to know what's right and what's wrong. We're supposed to take thoughts in the obedience of Christ. Why? If you don't, you're going to be dealing with a stronghold. It is hard once a person accepts something as true to get them to turn from it. I have sat with people already, and they say they believe the Word of God. They sit Spirit-filled churches. And you know, you'll say, yeah, but the Bible says this. Yeah, but you don't understand. This is about this. They will sit there, and you know, the whole time they're talking a lie. That they believe, they'll swear they're telling the truth. You don't get it. You don't understand. You just don't get it. And I can prove to them by Scripture. You're wrong. You're wrong. Show them the Scripture, and they'll just ignore it. And see, this is why. The Satan wants to get a stronghold in a person's life. You know, even with the sinner. You know, he don't get every sinner to run out here and commit murder. There's sinners who won't accept certain thoughts that the devil would bring to them to do. But some of them do. They'll start to accept thoughts. They'll start, you know, to get people today, they'll start accepting thoughts of hatred and stuff like that. And they start feeding on those things. They get angry about something's wrong, and they start feeding on thoughts on those things. And, you know, after a while, they can't control those thoughts. Now, it don't happen 10 minutes, but they keep going back to it. They don't stop and resist those thoughts and say, man, I ain't going to think like that. No, I ain't going to that place. You keep going to the wrong thoughts, and you keep going over there. Eventually, don't be surprised if you go there. Man, I minister in prison. Guys born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, committed murders and stuff. Get over their wrong thoughts, getting in the wrong areas, thinking. Everybody thinks, oh, well, they probably, you know, they got into drugs, alcohol, and that stuff. There's people out here who never got into those kind of things and committed murders. You get over thinking wrong thoughts and thinking wrong things will lead you, and then it becomes a stronghold. That's why it's important for us to keep our minds and our things all the time over in an area where we don't allow our, if our mind wants to go to an area and we know it's not right, is as soon as you catch yourself doing it, bring yourself back, say, no, I can't go to that place. I can't go to that thought. No, I can't go there. No, that's not right. That's not good. And identifying that thing, because why? Because what Satan wants to do, he wants to make that a stronghold. If he can possess your thinking, he'll have an avenue to your heart. You need to understand, your mind is the gateway to your spirit. If you can't get a guy to listen to the gospel preached, he ain't ever getting saved, is he? See, your mind is the gateway, and you need to understand that. That's why you need to control the gate. You need to control that gate. So you, why? You want to keep good things in your heart, because Jesus said, a man out of a good heart, he produces good things. You know, he does. If there's bad in the heart, a Christian can have bad in their heart, just like Ananias did, produced a bad thing. Jesus said, guard your heart. Guard your heart. Don't let stuff in your heart that don't belong. I realize people, in the past, we used to talk about, and they used to use the term, we had confession police. We need some confession police back today, because people are not policing themselves. They're sitting around talking with people about a bunch of bunk junk and crazy stuff and things, and talking about problems and stuff all the time and things. And then they'll turn around and go, then they get over in their little religious mode and start talking about believing God. Sorry, it ain't happening. You can't let your mind run out of control over here and come back over here and maintain a confession of faith. It won't happen. It won't work. You got to learn to keep your mind over in right things. I learned in your conversations you don't want to join into. Things you don't want to be talking about with people, Things you don't want to do, because you get over there and you do those areas. Satan is one of the areas. That's what he tries to do. And we need to identify it. We need to identify those things. In 1 Peter, it says, 1 Peter 5 in verses 8 and 9. Now understand, any temptation that comes, God said he's provided a way out. Now these temptations, these thought temptations, Your new birth and the authority you have in your new birth is enough for you to stand against Satan bringing thoughts. It says the weapons of our warfare are not fleshly, they're mighty. If you'll apply what the Bible tells you to do, you'll succeed every time. And so I learned this over time. I never try to make an excuse before God when I do something dumb. I just stop and say, Lord, I blew it, I missed it. If you make excuse, well, then you're just going to pay the penalty for excuse. You can't say, God, make up an excuse why you did it and then say, forgive me. That ain't working. You got to admit you was wrong. So get over where you admit you're wrong. 1 Peter in the 5th chapter, verses 8, this is what Peter said. He said, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Now, what did he say? Resist him. Now, here we resist him. We found out the weapons of our warfare are mighty. What is the weapon of our warfare? Resist him steadfast in the faith. Faith in the Word of God is our power weapon to deal with Satan. Why? Because what's he doing? This is his whole tactic. He's walking around looking for people that have weakness. And weakness where? In their thought life. Weakness in the way that they think. The weakness is that he is looking for those inroads. That's what he does. The person over here that easily thinks over here on something evil. Easily goes over here, holds resentment against somebody. Easily thinking bad. He comes over and says, duh, 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 I have something for you. You get people like around, they like gossip. They love to hear the latest news about somebody. Satan's walking about. Oh, here's one we can eat. We can eat this one. Oh, boy, boy. They wanted to find out the latest news about who did what. And there. Oh, I want to find out all the dirty details. It opens the door. It opens the door. What do we do? The weapons of our warfare are mighty. Why? You know what the Word of God says. Resist him, how steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Ain't nobody doesn't say, well, no, if you're a teenager, you ain't going to, it's worse. You can't do this. See, I really feel sorry for young people, because most of them are brought up in the church world, told, that, well, you're just going to live like hell. It's just hard when you're little. You're young and it ain't going to work. They've been lied to. They've been taught false doctrines. And if you bought it when you were little, what happens to you is you live it when you get older. That's what happens. You live it when you get older. But we find out here that we can resist these things. So in other words, The weapons that we're using, understand this. This is not God using a weapon for me. This is my weapon to use. I determine whether or not I want to use the weapon. I determine that. God does not determine it. The weapons of our warfare are mighty how? Through God. Through the Word of God. Believing what God's Word said. And when Satan comes along and knocks on your door and tries to bring wrong thoughts, wrong ideas, you just say, don't, just like Jesus did. He spoke what the Word of God said. When Satan tempted him, he said, it is written. So you need to come, this is what you need to find out. You need to be a student of the Bible. Not just a general, every once in a while, get up in the morning and read some scriptures and read your, you know, little whatever it is that you do. That's nice, do that. But you got to learn to know what the Word of God says. So when Satan comes along, and why, you have those things in your heart. If you have those things in your heart, that's going to be your response to Satan when he comes along with temptation. You're going to be able to identify temptation much easier. The more I developed in learning the Word of God, the more I could check out what Satan was doing really quick. If you're lacking knowledge of it, he can carry you off into stuff, and then later on you find out, oh man, this thing's been, I've been heading in the wrong direction in this. So you want to always develop where you know the Word of God, learn the Word of God, and hook into the Word of God. We resist him steadfast in the faith. He doesn't have some special attack for you. One of the things is most people, and the majority of people, you got to be careful, because most people like to get over there when they are in trouble is to think, poor old me. Oh, I'm going through this. Satan will always put you out there. You're going through something. Nobody understands you. You know, my wife just don't understand me. My husband just don't understand me. When you've made those statements, you have just lied. You're not going through anything other people don't go through. Now, if you accept that, you're going to live off that lie. And I will guarantee you that devil will carry you out into that lie to lead you to the place of hopelessness one day, and you'll never get out of your problem. That's what he wants to do. He wants to carry you that place. You're so special. You're out here and the devil can do things to you and it just don't do it to anybody else because you're so special. And you got, oh my, your sickness. The doctor said they ain't ever seen nothing like it. Boy, I'm going to tell you, people cheer when that happens. I got this special disease. And you got to treat me special. All disease has the same outcome. It don't take any more faith to heal one disease than any other. You can heal cancer as easy as you can heal a headache or a cough. It don't take any more. Faith in God does it. And when you get over in the thing, and I got something special, the devil's already got you in a place of a trap, because what does he want to do? Jesus said he only comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He's getting you out there to kill you. And your mouth, if you're doing it, is inviting him, come on, kill me, devil, I'm special. You can specially kill me. Don't allow him to do it. That's why I don't identify. One of the things it is, I really fight the thing. I don't want to get over it. You know, not just sickness and disease. You can get over it. I see ministers do this all the time. They think because of the things that you put up in ministry, people don't understand what you're going through. Get a life, buddy. That's why lots of ministers have nervous breakdowns. Amazing how many ministers have a lot of problems in those areas. Loads of them. The average person stays in the ministry for 4 years. Dear Lord, I know what, if you don't learn the Word, you'll go crazy. And you'll let things bother you that shouldn't bother you at all. And you get over there and that. This is why you don't want to do that. And the whole thing of it is dealing with our thought life. Because that's where Satan's dealing. Satan, we look back at Eve in the garden, what did he do? He dealt with her with what she think, what she thought, what she was believing. He dealt with her on that and brought thoughts to her, which she knew what the Word of God says, quoted it, but believed what he said. She had her mind open. Why? Because she had already been thinking about eating out of that tree, and she got somebody to agree with her. She didn't that day all of a sudden. You know, the Bible doesn't tell, it doesn't, the Bible gives us a gist of what took place, of why that happened. She had been looking at that tree to eat it a long time. She'd been thinking about it, and the devil just kept giving her rope. I bet that snake showed up a few, whoo, the tree sure looks good today. Whoa, sure would like more there to eat. Wahoo! Yeah. looking good, looking good. You ever been there? Well, let's not go there, okay? Amen. Hallelujah. But Satan wants to deceive you, and we've read these before in things we've taught. 1 Timothy 4:1 just says, now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. You know, people who depart from the faith, they will swear they're believing God. They swear they're believing the Word of God. But how did they depart from the faith? They're believing wrong things. And I've seen people do this. They're believing wrong stuff, believing wrong things, and they will swear that they're following God. They don't see themselves that they departed from faith. They're not walking in faith with God anymore. They're following wrong things and wrong teachings. You know, just like one minister, I mean, I've set meetings already he was in and that stuff. God ministered wonderful stuff and good stuff. Today, he's out here and he believes that everybody's going to be saved. You know, God saves everybody. That no matter what you are sinning, you know, whether Adolf Hitler, he's going to be in heaven. Every God saves because grace of God is just, you know, God's taking care of the sin problem of everybody. Don't matter what you live, you follow Jesus or don't follow Jesus, everybody ends up in heaven. He got there. How did he get there? He slowly got over and started believing wrong. He left the faith and didn't even know it. He's not going to be in heaven. He can't preach that and believe that and end up in heaven. It's impossible. It's impossible. If you believe that you can't remove from the faith, if you're one of these people, once you're saved, you're always saved, you can be removed from the faith and not even know it because of following a deceiving spirit telling you you can believe anything you want now. Now that you're saved, you can do anything, believe anything you want. You're still going to go to heaven. That's deceiving spirits. And they'll deceive people into things. It don't happen overnight. They slowly get away, slowly get away. Slowly. After a while, they will swear that they're doing what's right and following the Bible. They'll swear. They ain't over here saying, you know, hey, I'm a Buddhist now. No, they'll get over here and they'll talk to you and swear that they're following God when they're not. They slowly get moved over into there. Now, you know, everybody comes on right in certain things that we just, you know, we walk in and we don't really know certain things about Scripture. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about people that are deceived into wrong believing, things that run you out into danger. There are some things from the Scripture we don't have enough information in the Bible to know exactly how to believe specifically about certain things because it don't give us enough information on it. And so we might have difference in doctrine. But the things that lay down doctrinal, that are laid down doctrinal truth, folks, you got to walk in line with that. If you don't, the devil's going to get you off base. He's going to carry you out to something you wish you'd have never gone to or never known. Satan will come and he'll try to bring things on you. He'll turn around. He's an accuser of the brethren, it says in the book of Revelation. That's what he does. He'll don't only accuse you before God, he accuses you all the time. You know, you missed the mark. I've learned this one time. I've learned this back when I was a young Christian. Because the devil, you missed the mark, and I'm going to tell you, well, after a while, the devil's bugged you. Well, if you were any kind of Christian, you'd have never done such a thing. You repent and tell God, you know, and repent to head in the right direction. But he keeps reminding you of your errors that you made and where you did. If you fall into that trap, you're going to get into trouble. He's the accuser. Now, this is what I always tell him. This ain't none of your business. This is between me and my God. You have no say in this. I confess my sin before the Father. It don't matter what you say about it. You have no say whatsoever in this. This is between me and Daddy, and he says it's all right. So we ain't going there. I know people that have made mistakes in their life, and they 10 years, they still can't get over it because they let the devil keep coming back and telling them and talking to them about it, and they will not resist that thought. You tell them, well, God forgives you. I know, but, always I know, but. When you say, I know, but, this is what I know. They're in unbelief. They've been deceived. I know, but. I know that. I know, yes, he washed me in the blood. People say, I just can't quit thinking about it. That's the biggest lie in the world. You can. If you can't quit thinking about it, it means this. The devil can put a stronghold on you that you can't deal with. The weapons of God ain't big enough for you because you got this special big problem. See, the devil deceives us, carries us out into things. People want delivered. Understand, our weapons will deliver us. What we've been given, faith in God will get you through anything. Hallelujah. There's nothing it won't get you through. Really, what Satan does in dealing in operation, he deals in the areas of fear and strife, rebellion, disobedience, pride, you know, all kinds of lusts of the flesh. Those are the things that he gets people over into. We can know this. If you're dealing with the areas of fear, and you're in the areas of fear, understand this. The Word says, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but a power and love and a sound mind. See, I watch people do this. I've watched generally in our population today, I don't care if it's the world or Christian, they have generally accepted the fact as you get older, you're going to have face problems in life. You're not going to be as healthy. Your mind's not going to be as good as you get older and all these things. And most people and most spirit-filled, tongue-talking Christians have accepted those things. They expect to get older and get sick more. They expect to do that. Wow, that is nothing but fear. That's generated by fear as you get older. The Bible teaches that at old age, that's supposed to be your blessed time. You're supposed to be living a fulfilled life. The world tells us different. The devil comes along and puts it in, and people buy it. Well, they squawk out here. Well, look, most of the population has this problem. Well, most of the population's evil and lives like hell. Dear Lord, they're supposed to have that problem. You live evil and live like hell, you're going to reap the fruit of it. Dear God, why are we identifying with what the world says? Most people that, you know, the doctor that Wanda and I have, I went to him one time back for a physical thing. I've thought about, you know, most of the people that guy has come into his office are sinners. And you can't get half of them probably well. You can't get them well. I don't care if they invent a medicine for it. Because they're going to talk stupid. They're going to say the wrong things. They're going to be doing the wrong stuff. So they can't come. They come up with me with a survey of how people are. I couldn't believe it. Because the people that they're taking the survey in, they ain't in the same kingdom I'm in. They're not walking in the same life I'm walking in. And they're not with you. They're not walking the same as you. And if you're believing the wrong things and saying the wrong things, you're going to end up in the wrong things. If anything comes to you that tries to bring fear on you, it's not God. Anything that's coming along trying to make you think that you're crazy, it's not God. God gave you what kind of mind? A forgetful mind that sounds sometime. See, we need to learn to rebuke this stuff. We need to stir and say, well, as I'm getting older, my mind ain't working as good. Well, you agreed with it. Go ahead. But don't blame anybody else. That's the choice. See, that's the stronghold. Satan wants to come along and make you a mental retard. He wants you to get over where your mind don't work right, where he can plant thoughts anytime he wants to. He can put a stronghold in you anytime he wants to. And man, he's done good at this thing, hasn't he? He's done good at it in our population. You know, now today, you do evil and do wrong and let stuff in your thought life goes on, you're no longer responsible, you know. You got a gene. Yeah, I know what it is. It's the devil gene. It's listening to the devil, doing the devil stuff. Why? Because they can't cope with it nor deal with it. There's only one way to deal with it. Get born again. Get the Word of God in you and control. You control your mind. Use the Word of God and your faith. Hallelujah. And you can overcome every stronghold of the enemy. Hallelujah. I'm going to believe what the Bible says. The Bible tells us what the works of the flesh are in Galatians 5 in verses 19 through 21 tells us, because the devil's going to want you to move into there. He wants you to get you over into there. He wants to get your thought life going over here. Well, you'll go back and accept the stuff that's wrong to do. He wants to get in here. It says in there, now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, hatred. Hatred, he says, contention, jealousy, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambition, dissensions, heresy, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelry, and the like, of which I tell you before, just as I also told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. The devil wants to get you into a practice of evil. He wants you to get you over. That's his whole intent. He wants to bind you. You may have accepted Jesus, but he don't want you living the Jesus life. And he's going to get out. He's going to get somebody to preach grace to you to tell you, yeah, you can do some of this. That's okay. He wants to get a preacher, a guy come along and tell you, yeah, if you get into sin and go do that, it doesn't matter. You don't have to repent. The word repent means to turn from. In other words, they're telling people that you can keep doing your sin. These people are liars. They are false prophets. They are deceived people. What does it say? The guys who practice this, they all go to heaven. Now, there's people, it doesn't mean there's people who everybody sometime or another slipped into sin and done something wrong. I hope you don't make it a practice. You don't want to start practicing where after a while I can do evil and it don't matter. You don't want to go there. You don't want to go to that place. And I don't believe any of us here want to go to that place. We do not ever want to make a practice of sin. You don't want to. You practice in a little bit of sin, and I'll guarantee you'll be practicing. You let time go on, you'll be practicing in a lot of it. We want to identify what it is, deal with it. And that's what we're looking at here. We need to know this. See, when Christians, that doesn't matter, saint nor sinner, when you get over into these fleshly areas to go walk into, you're well into Satan's jurisdiction where he has hand on you. Did you ever notice, we don't pray for somebody and it don't change. If they're over there in that territory, you can pray night and day. If they don't come out of that territory, you can't stop what's happening to them because Satan has the right there to do it to them. That's why, too many Christians waste their time praying. They wear themselves out and then they say, my prayer life don't work. You didn't have a prayer life. You didn't even know what you're praying about. See, we need to understand these things. A person gets into those areas, Satan has a right to do it till they leave the area. I know a woman told me one time she had her brother or something. And her brother had, was supposed to be a Christian, and he ended up living with a girl who said that she was a Christian. And her brother, she said, has had not much of anything to do with God. But this woman told her, she's still a Christian. And she said, I know we live together, but this is her idea. I every day ask Jesus for forgive me. I know this living together ain't right. Every day I ask him to forgive me for it. Well, she can ask Jesus to forgive for it every day. Not if she stays in it, it's her practice. The devil owns her, and there is no forgiveness. Forgiveness comes from repentance, turning from it. You can't use Jesus, forgive me, while I live like hell. Where do people ever get these ideas from? But it's being preached in churches because people got it. They'll say, just ask God to forgive you. If you aren't going to leave sin, don't bother asking God to forgive you. It doesn't matter. It would make no. If I'm going to continue the sin, if I'm going to continue to walk in it, the devil has access to me. I need to understand that. If I practice it, he has access to me. He has legal access. Now, the devil will do illegal if you'll let him go. But why give him legal access to us? I don't want to do that. And see, we have a lot of stuff going out here among Christians, and a lot of junk going on, and people are wondering why things don't change. It's because Christians are being preached to, you can stay in sin and you're still all right. No, you're not. That's one thing. See, I would never allow sin like that in my home. Nobody's going to come live in my house and live like hell because you ain't bringing the devil's territory to my house. Because I will guarantee you, if you let it in your house, you will pay penalty for it because you have given the opportunity for Satan to come and do it to you. You've given it. You can say it, don't you? Can say you believe in God. Say all you want. Don't matter what you say. The devil, you gave him access. Devil ain't getting access to my house. You don't do that. You don't let this stuff. People want to practice these kinds of stuff. You need to deal with it, folks. You got to walk in the truth. Walk in the light of the truth. What you don't allow. The Bible says a person says they're a Christian. If they're practicing certain ones of these things, it says don't even as much as eat with them. You don't go, they say, let's go out to dinner together. We ain't going to dinner together. You ain't eating, you ain't getting together. I'm sorry, you want to practice that stuff and don't want to leave it? I don't care who you are. I care if it's my mama. I ain't eating with you, mama. You say you're a Christian and you're going to do that? I ain't eating with you. I'm going to follow the Bible. You can't, see, this is why most people have all kinds of problems in their life, and they have them because whether they liked it or not, they have invited it. And then they're praying and asking God for help, and they wonder why. They go for years and no help, and they don't wonder why. You can't get help. You can't practice the wrong thing. You can't have a practice of not going to work and getting paychecks. You can't do that. You practice the wrong thing. The Bible tells us what we get. We are paid back by what we have sown. If I continue in an area of getting paid back something I didn't want, I got to find out, Lord, where am I? Something's going on here. I got something happening here. Now, that doesn't mean that any time, you know, nothing with bad would ever happen to you. The devil will try to bring bad on you. But if you continually stay in bad, something's wrong. Something's wrong. Somebody ain't listening to God. Somebody's doing some things that are allowing the devil access. Don't allow the devil access. Don't allow. Never make a Christian feel it's all right. If I get over and, you know, and I blow my top, I got to repent. I got to say, hey, this was wrong. I did wrong. It isn't, well, you know, the person deserved it. No, if I didn't, and I know if I did it, one thing to do it in love, there's sometimes, you know, you need to just tell a person. But if I just did it out, I'm just downright mad and just, I'm just fed up with them. If I do it out of the wrong spirit, I need to repent. And so you got to get over there and deal with those things, folks, you know. And sometimes we've walked over into those areas and we've done things, and, you know. But we need to learn to clear it up. Why? Because the devil, you keep over there and doing that. You know, I remember one time this one woman, she always blamed her ethnic background for her temper. She got really upset to me. I said, you ain't got an ethnic problem. I said, you got a sin problem you never want to deal with. And you use an excuse of your background not to walk like a Christian. She was very happy about that and just... very cheerful. Oh, she ain't the only one. I've heard it, but people do the same thing. Christians doing the same thing. Why? I'm not going to repent of it. I enjoy doing this. I like to let my flesh run loose on this thing. And I won't blame it because of my background. Well, if that's true, then, just ought to be a drunk, you know. Because, I mean, my background was a bunch of drunks. So, you know, just go ahead and get drunk here. We're not going there. Just a couple more things I want to share with you concerning these things. But don't get yourself over inside where you put yourself in Satan's boundaries. You don't have to. The Word says we don't. And you know, it's not, God's not being mean, but we don't have an excuse and say, well, you know, it's all right if I get over into there. And no, it isn't. The Bible tells us God does provide a way out. So if I just didn't pay attention the way out, we need to be honest with ourselves. You will never change till you become honest. See, we have today, I could take you from church to church out through our valley here, and they'll just preach to you, you're going to sin. You're just going to sin. That's just the way it is. You're just going to sin. You know, get over it. You're just going to be sinning out. You're just going to keep doing all this stuff wrong out here. I want to read scripture to you here. Hallelujah. In Romans 6. This is what Romans, the 6th chapter and verse 13, it says, and do not present your members. This is talking about your flesh. Your members is your flesh. That's what it's talking about. This is talking about your flesh, your body, as instruments of unrighteousness to sin. It says, don't do that. It didn't say, it's all right. You're saved. You're a Christian. It's okay. Listen, but present yourself to God as being alive from the dead. He's talking, he's not talking about physically alive. He's talking about we're supposed to live like what we really are in the inside. And you know what you are in the inside? You're alive from the dead. You have been raised together with Christ. You're a spiritual new being. You're like Jesus Christ and you're like your Father. What does he say? We're supposed to live like that. He said, and your members, what? As instruments of righteousness. In other words, my flesh, I'm not supposed to let it do what it wants to do. I'm supposed to keep my flesh so it acts righteously. It does the right thing. Now I want you to read this, because this ends the excuse of you're just going to sin. If you're just going to sin, it's because you have believed a lie. For sin shall not have dominion over you. For you are not under the law, but under grace. I can take you into churches today and the pastors will just sit there and tell you, you're just going to sin. You're just going to sin. You're just going to sin. And you know what? They wonder why people are living like hell today. They have been taught. You're just going to sin. You can walk into churches and they're wearing coverings and everything else and they'll tell you, you're just going to sin. You're going to miss it. You're going to sin. No, it says sin doesn't have dominion over you. If I say I'm just going to sin, I have just declared the Bible a lie. It's not true. Sin has dominion over me. I can't control it. I want to tell you what, I know this about my flesh. I've lived with me long enough to know this. If I give my flesh a foot, it will take 10 yards. You give yourself an excuse to sin, and I will guarantee you down the road you're going to sin more, and you're going to sin more. Sin has dominated the church because the church has not believed the Bible. They have preached the way man lives and call it gospel. I believe in the grace of God, but I understand this. I may mess up a bunch and still end up in heaven, but I'm going to tell you, I can have hell on this earth while I'm here. And many Christians are living with hell on earth here because they haven't learned to stay within the bounds of jurisdiction, and they get themselves over and get themselves into a place where Satan can get a hand on them. I feel so sorry. People go to churches and they preach the fact you're just going to sin. They set them up for the devil to get into their lives and do things. They set them up. They're sitting there and taught. I mean, how sad that. You know, I'm talking about a foundational truth. Sin no longer has dominion over it. If anything a Christian ought to get, if you could, you know, you don't have to be spirit-filled. If you could get that revelation that sin doesn't have dominion over you, you could live a really good life and stay out of a lot of trouble by believing I don't have to sin. Well, see, when people believe it's okay to sin because we're just going to do it. It's been talked and it's been said so much. And so people have fallen into those areas. We have no excuse for not walking in love. You know, Romans 8, verse 38 and 39 says, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor heights, nor depths, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus." The love of God shed abroad in our hearts. I know God's love for me, but God's love for me is not something that He's sitting up in heaven and say, "I love you." God put His love in me so I'm able to walk and live in this love. You and I can walk and live in this love. This is not something that we're trying to do. See, we can't sit down and say, "Well, I just have trouble walking in love." Well, the reason we have, either we're ignorant of it and don't know it, but we don't have an excuse that's saying we can't do it. We can do it. We can walk in love. We can do these things. You know, and I want you to understand this. This is not hard. This is not being hard. But Christian life becomes easy when you accept this stuff as a truth. When I accepted these things as the truth in the way that they are, it made my path a whole lot easier. It's when I was, you know, Paul talked about before he accepted Christ, you know, he was kicking against the King James says kicking against the pricks or kicking against the goads. In other words, what it was is they would put these things on you know, the oxen to pull, and what happened? They put that bar in down below in the back so they can't kick and carry. If they kick back, they hit that wooden bar across there, and it does. That's what he's talking about. In other words, kicking against those. In other words, wearing yourself out over there doing that. And you know, if you don't understand these things and accept these truths, this is what you'll do your whole Christian walk. You're kicking against the thing, and you wonder why you're going through a rough time. Just like that the oxen keeps kicking back against them, man, he's going to have sore legs. Because after a while, he ain't going to be plowing very good. A lot of Christians can't plow through life anymore. They can't get down. They can't do a straight row anymore. They can't go on, fulfill what God's called them to do, because they've constantly kicked against the pricks, because they were constantly going along believing other things than the Scripture says, getting them out over in the area where the devil can keep harming them and hurting them. After a while, you get beat up so much, you just don't want to go no more. And you know, that's why some people, they'll turn around, they get over there and say, "Well, you know, I just sort of quit. I just can't cut head on this road anymore. I'm just sort of at the end of this thing, and I just, you know, why follow God? This thing's too hard. This way is not hard." Jesus said this, my way is easy. My burden is light. That's what Jesus said. Anybody ever tells you it's hard to be a Christian, you look them right in the eye and say, "You know, you're lying. Do you know what Jesus said? My way is easy. My burden's light." It's hard to live like sinner. They'll say it's hard. People live over and live like hell. The devil eats their lunch and they'll talk about it being an easier way. Easy! Easy! Isn't that easy? It's easy over in this life. Over on this side, I can deal with what comes against me. Over on this side, If I stay in the jurisdiction that God's given me and I stay in, I've been in it and I've been out of it. And I'll tell you what, being in it's a whole lot better than being out of it. I've been on both sides. And we need to get over there on that side and begin to identify. Just because somebody there preached stuff and you heard things about grace, I'm just amazed at how little Christians even know about grace. They haven't got a clue about it. They think grace just takes care of everything and you just go do your thing. That ain't grace. That's stupidity. Jesus told us, and it's in the New Testament. It was written by the Apostle Paul, wrote and said, you're going to reap what you sow. He said, don't mock God. Most grace preaching today mocks God. It tells you that grace, because you're under grace, you ain't going to deal with your problem. I'm going to tell you, all of us are going to stand before Jesus, and the Bible says what we're going to do. Every Christian's going to stand before Jesus Christ one day and give account for what we did in the flesh. If I let my flesh do what it wanted to do instead of following the Word, I am going to stand on account for it. The Word says so. There's no such thing. People say, well, you know, our sins are under. We ain't going to have to deal with none of it when we get there. You're going to deal with what you let your flesh do. And if you let your flesh do wrong, Jesus is going to talk to us about it. We're going to be judged on the deal. These people say, we go to heaven, we don't get judged. No, I don't get judged whether I'm a sinner or a saint, but I will be judged on what I've done in the flesh. That's the Bible. But that ain't popular today. We lack the grace of live like hell, don't answer for it. The sad part about it, you're going to answer for it in this life and in the life to come. That's Bible. That's New Testament. I'm not preaching Old Testament. I'm preaching New Testament. But you don't see that in the grace teaching today. They won't bring that one over into there. They don't bring that stuff in. Why? Because they don't preach true grace. They preach a grace you can do anything. Don't follow that. I'm going to find out what the Bible says. God is not trying to limit your life. He's trying to save your life. God wants to save your life. He wants to save you from destruction. He wants to save you from heartache and despair. He wants to save. Man, I look back over those things and, man, I know I set myself up for trouble. Following, doing, you know, heading in the wrong direction. Set yourself up. But I'll tell you, payday always does come. It always does come. Because the things that is, we're not teaching these things to be hard, but we need to know there's a good God, but there's a bad devil. And the bad devil wants you to not have reward. He wants you to be defeated. He wants you. The things that you get are not going to be good. You'll never consider them a reward. You'll always consider this is bad news. That's what he always wants to bring to you. He'll tell you you can let yourself go and God still loves you, and that's the truth. But you need to understand this. Everybody who is in hell today who did not accept Jesus Christ, God loved them. God loving me does not mean that I am not going to get what I sow and I'm not going to end up reaping it. God loving me has nothing to do with that. We spanked our kids sometimes. Don't tell me I didn't love them. I loved them more than the people that wouldn't spank their kids. And I spanked them because I loved them. Because I didn't want to continue on a path that was wrong. Today, we have all this thing, don't do anything to anybody, don't do, you know, you just love them, and we love them, and they do evil, and let's help them out so they can do some more evil, and we love them, and you know, we'll be just so nice to them that they're going to accept Jesus because we're just so nice. Boy, that's really worked, hasn't it? I remember back in the 90s, they started all that stuff, and boy, the churches just started taking care of everybody in the community. Boy, the church, yeah, let's get a good welfare program going on. Hasn't our community turned into a wonderful place for Jesus? Folks, it doesn't work. The stuff doesn't work. We don't deal with things. We don't deal with truth. We just keep following off what we believe is true, but we haven't examined the Bible. We need to get our believing straight. We're going to have communion this morning. We're having communion. It's to remind us who we are. It's what communion always is. Communion brings us back to the place, you know, you're not your own anymore. You know, you're not an American and you got choice. You and I are living in a kingdom that is a theocracy. It is not a democracy. People only get saved in this kingdom the way the king says. Never on the choice of men. See, we brought democracy into the church, and by bringing democracy in, we preach a grace that you choose your path, God loves you, you're going to end up wherever you want to be. It's not the way that it is. It's to bring us back always into focus who our Lord is. You have a Lord. And if He is your Lord, then He has a right to dictate your life. He has that right. If you can call Him Lord, but you may, maybe never make Him Lord, we want to do that. We want to make Him Lord and say, look, you get to dictate things in my life. You have a right to say to me about direction of my life. And I found this out, that's a good thing. Even as a Christian, sometimes I did what I thought was best. Boy, that was fun. And instead of listening and following what He was trying to teach me to do, to walk in what's best. There's one thing as I know about Jesus. He has much more care for me and insight about me than I do. You know, I'm growing and getting better insight, but I ain't arrived yet. He has arrived. He knows it all. He's God. And He sets a path for our lives. It's for us to follow. And you know what? It's for our good. God wants heaven into your life. God wants you to have some days of heaven in the earth. That's what He wants. That's what He's looking for humanity. God ain't looking for the day when Jesus returns and sets up His kingdom and binds the devil. He don't want it at that time. People are finally free. I'm going to tell you, the Bible says you're free now. You can have heaven in your life right now. And this, we're reminded, it's through Jesus Christ. It's through what He did. He's the Word of God. He is the Word of God. What He says is what's right. Don't matter what anybody else says. What He said was true. He said, I didn't come to bring peace but a sword. How come grace never preaches that? True grace would preach it. But we don't have grace preached today. We have all kind of other stuff. He came to bring us a while. Division comes. If you know how to walk right, you know, I've seen people because of the divisions that come through, they have a terrible time being able to walk. I don't care. I'm going to be happy no matter what anybody does. Hallelujah. I'm going to walk in the true grace of God. I'm going to stay over in it, walk in the good. Whatever else is out there, that's up to them, what they want to do. Walk in what's good. Walk under the blessing. Why? I'm going to do it. Why? I want to follow what Jesus said. If He said it, it's true. I don't care what any other man says. Doesn't matter. I want to know what the Bible says. And we're reminded about Jesus. We were singing about the blood today. Man, that blood, it changes. You're not like anybody else. You belong to Jesus. You're not like other people. Why do we want to live like them? You're not like somebody else. People that aren't born again, they ain't like me. And I'm not running them down. I'm just telling them, we're not in the same camp. I don't want to think like they thought. I don't want to think and understand the way they... I want to think like heaven thinks. Hallelujah. My family's a heavenly family. It's not an earthly family. It's a heavenly family. Hallelujah. Based upon heavenly thoughts that brings blessing to humanity. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. And let's pray, and then we're going to go ahead and pass out the elements. Father, we just approach You today.